afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it's Monday, November 13th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
And how are you this fine Monday, beautiful Monday afternoon?
I haven't made up my mind yet.
You haven't?
No.
Well,
I don't want to. I don't want
that's
to.
Typical.
I don't want to decide too early in the day.
That's typical. Well, gold decided today to be up a few dollars, $3 for gold today, $1,278.80 right now to be exact in the New York spot price after market. Silver was up 16 cents today at $17.12. Platinum was up 4 at 936. Palladium was down 2, 996. The USDX today was trading a little bit higher, 0.10 at 94.49, and crude oil was down 5 cents at 56.69. 56.69. Paper markets today, you're looking at the Dow, was up 17 points, 23,439. The NASDAQ was up 6.66, 6,757, and the S&P was up 2 at 2,584. Early morning trade, they were all in negative territory. They turned around, really didn't do much all day, pretty much like gold. Gold was up $2-3 and just stayed there all day long. So it seemed once the markets opened, there wasn't anything that was too reactive today. You have the 10-year yield 2.40%. The euro is 1.17 up 0.06. European markets, Japan was down 300 points, almost a 1.33%. Everything else was fairly quiet overnight. And it's kind of interesting. There is a, if I can bring this report up, I thought it on Friday. This was out of Bloomberg. After we had a negative day in gold, there was about 4 million ounces of gold that traded in a matter of minutes. And it was just shortly after 11:10. That's when the London closes at 11. So 11:10 a.m. on the COMEX in New York, about 40,000 contracts, and each one represents 100 ounces of gold, traded in a span of 10 minutes. That triggered a sell-off and it sended prices down as much as 1.1%. So that trade jolted the market, and so we've seen a little volatility in this metal, and it pushed it to some of the lowest levels since 2001 as far as the volatility. Person out of Harris Metals out of New York said that we didn't see any headlines. That's what I said. There wasn't any news to make gold drop $10, but it just did. And it's going to be someone who has a huge position that can trigger stops and make the market move in a direction. The trades accelerated a market exodus in the half hour ended 11:30 a.m. Volume reached 63,384 contracts. Futures and delivery in December settled 1% lower. If the mysterious trades within that half hour were paid at the settlement price, which was unlikely, they would have been worth more than $8 billion. The bullion market has seen similar mysterious trades in the past few months. Last month, contracts covering more than 2 million ounces of gold traded in just 5 minutes, sending prices a little higher. 2 months earlier, contracts for a similar amount traded in a minute, propelling the metal higher. And in June, we saw the same thing of 1.8 million ounces posted in just a minute. So, you know, somebody, governments, central banks, governments are in there. And these are the signs that they're in there tinkering with the markets. So,
well, it's certain that it's not a surge from private investors.
Not $4 billion worth.
Uh-uh.
$8 billion.
Yeah, this is big-time institutional players.
Well, I'm sure it's governments and central banks.
Mm.
So, and they're mysterious trades. They're private. You don't know who they are. And
well, you know what else bothers me about it, though? The trades, I'll bet, are all in paper. I doubt that any physical gold changed hands in the midst of these massive trades. All they succeeded in doing with this paper is to move the market up, down, or sideways the way they want it to go. But they haven't actually made a difference in terms of physical gold. And they don't. And I would be very much surprised if a single ounce of physical gold traded hands, even though they say there's 1.8 million ounces or whatever, it's paper gold that's been traded. And in fact, it would have to be, because I don't think you can trade 1.8 million ounces of real gold or 100,000 ounces of real gold. I don't think you can trade it in just a couple of minutes.
Well, that's what it is. It's contracts. And
yeah,
it sets precedence. And
But these are kind of, I'm talking about even then. If they were selling physical gold, I'd say that's real. I'm willing to go along with that. But the reason this can happen is because the people that are selling this are selling paper gold that really doesn't have any value. Nobody would do this if they had to put up 1.8 million ounces of physical gold. The only way this can work, it has to be paper. And one way or another, they're being reimbursed by the Federal Reserve or whoever's backing them on this stuff. But it's not a big deal, right? Was physical.
Well, it's a big,
yeah, would be something.
Well, it's a big deal though, because it made gold drop $10, and I'll guarantee you they were hoping for something a little bit bigger. So, but it's a way to show that that's how they manipulate these markets. You have these mysterious trades; they come in. They always come in right, usually right after the London markets close at 11, and so sometimes that's when you'll see the biggest moves in gold at that point in time. Even in the stock markets, there's two times a day when you'll usually see moves in the big moves. Not always, but usually. You'll see the big moves. That's 11 o'clock and after 3 o'clock. It's always where you'll see even the paper markets and in gold and silver also. General Electric came out today. They slashed their dividend by 50%. They have a new CEO. He's trying to make this turnaround. General Electric is a 125-year-old company, and they're cutting their dividends in half. It's only the third time in 125 years that they cut their dividend, and that was during the Great Depression. That was back in 2010. They did it in 1939, they did it in 2009, and now they're doing it this year, today. So
it's getting to be a habit, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. They paid a dividend since 1899, and again, we'll have to see if they replace GE out of the Dow. If the Dow dumps GE, if they can't turn it around after a very long time in being in there. So again, it's just another sign of the times. And again, one of their problems is pensions. They have a lot of debt and they can't pay those dividends anymore. And there was an article out of, I'm not quite sure where this came from, the Lombardi letter, but it was a U.S. national debt to soar on the back of struggling pension funds. And it talks about these South Carolina's pension funds. As of June, they've had, a funding gap of about a little over $25 billion. But the altogether U.S. cities and state pension funds, this is from the Financial Times, pension funds are underfunded by $3.85 trillion. That's an incredible amount of money. And that's by the Financial Times. So it's, there's going to be a bailout. Either they're going to strip it, and people
there's
are gonna just going to lose their money.
Hyperinflation, perhaps.
The retirements of millions of Americans. You're not going to have it.
No, I know. But I don't see, where's the bailout coming from? Who's going to pay it? I don't think there's enough people employed to cover this right now. I don't think people are going to sit still for raising taxes. Trump is supposedly cutting taxes. How's he going to raise taxes? Oh, we've got to raise taxes now to support the pension funds. And these are not, we're not even talking about Social Security.
The Senator Sherrod Brown from Ohio plans to introduce a bill that would allow these struggling funds to borrow from the U.S. Treasury to stay in business. How will this work? The U.S. Treasury would issue bonds to lend to pension funds. Essentially, the idea is that the pension funds could borrow money at lower rates. In addition to this, the bill would allow the the PBGC, then that's the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, to help pension funds with any other borrowing needs. So, I mean, they're looking into, they're trying to find a way to where, you know, these cities and states can borrow for their pension plans.
And how are they going to do that?
Yeah.
Other than just spend more currency out of thin air. The government is going to have to publish bonds, sell the bonds to the Federal Reserve. Federal Reserve will print up some fresh $100 bills or whatever, digital currency, whatever. But we're going to have to increase the debt in order to make good on these pensions.
Yep. So, I mean, our debt
The debt's never going to be paid as it is anyway. I don't know.
So, you know, they're going to print and do this until, you know, it collapses. But you could have the U.S. debt overnight surge by $4 trillion. $5 trillion.
And what should that accomplish? It should probably contribute to a lot of inflation.
A lot of inflation.
Higher prices.
Impact on the dollar. And certainly a higher gold price. Mm-hmm. But the sad thing is we can look at inflation. We can look at higher gold prices. And so people might get the retirement accounts, but what's the purchasing power behind it?
Well, that,
so they
that's
lose
the
no matter what.
Their,
they lose
that'll
no
be part
what.
Of the deal. Here, we're going to help you people. And what we're going to do is we're going to print a bunch of extra dollars in order to create the illusion that you're being. How much was your pension? You're supposed to get $2,000 a month. Well, we're going to see that you get $2,000 per month, only they will have purchasing power equivalent to $800. Oh, how about that? That's where we're kind of heading. Now, it might not be $800, it might be $1,200. But if the system not only generates these paper dollars, these fiat dollars, these fantasy dollars to make good on these pensions, at the same time it creates inflation, it means, yeah, you're going to get what you expected out of your pension numerically, nominally, you'll get the money, maybe, that you that was promised on your pension. But in terms of purchasing power, that's not that is unlikely to happen. Nothing's impossible, but that is unlikely to happen. And the simple truth is we can't pay all the pensions. We can't pay all the debt. It's not going to be paid one way or another. It has to be written off. Either it has to be flat out restructured and just say, sorry, we can't pay the bill, we got a default, or we have to go into inflation and we can numerically pay off the bills, but it won't have the same purchasing power. And that's where we be. Right? And what's the lesson in all of that? The lesson is if you are anywhere close to being entering into your retirement years,
get out of
you should start looking closely at how your money is, how your wealth is invested, and make some very difficult decisions as to whether or not you want to continue to invest the way it's currently invested. And I'm not making a recommendation per se. I'm just saying you need to look. All right, I'm not saying what you should do, but you need to look and you need to think, is this going to work for me? Is this likely to work for me? Or would I be better off to get rid of this investment right now and go into an alternative investment right now? What's going to preserve my capital? What's going to present an opportunity to see an increase? I don't see how the pension funds are going to do that at this point.
No, they can't. They can't. They won't. We've seen state after state, city after city have problems. They readjust them. They restructure. They're going to restructure before they start borrowing, and then you'll get whacked twice. And again, and you might get some sort of a little payment from the government, but what is your purchasing power going to be? Stick it in the bank. What's the bank going to pay you? Less than 1%? You're going to, even at today's inflation rate, you're losing against their low inflation target. My insurance premium went up $500. I'll guarantee you that knocks their inflation of below 2% right out of the ballpark. You know, there is no such thing as their little paltry little 1% and, oh, we're struggling so hard with inflation. That's just a mindset. It's psychological warfare that they're doing to make you think, oh, we have no inflation in this country. Good grief. You know, it's and just like Alan Greenspan said, well, it isn't what we do, it's what we say. that people, that markets react and people believe. It's the game. It's the game that they're playing with your money.
And you see, how stupid is that? I mean, how colossally dumb can it be? Or say, oh, they don't care what we do. They only care about what we say. That has to tell you that the system is being supported by potentially nonsense.
Well, because right?
It's just words. It's just intangible promises.
But people believe it. Your mainstream media backing everything up that the Fed says and what government says, and so they're all supporting one another because they don't want you to find out. They don't want you to find out that your retirement's going to stink. You know, they don't want you to know that because they want you to keep spending today. And it's
not only that, they want you to keep your wealth.
They want you to keep your wealth in paper
debt instruments. Absolutely. Which is where it is right
now.
That's
the only way they can function. It's the only way they're able to continue to function.
Because if people were to wake up, or at least what I believe is wake up, and they were willing to realize that these paper debt instruments, bonds being a primary example, stocks being another one, they can't really last for long. They can't really deliver and preserve your wealth and the rest of that sort of thing. If they started dumping their bonds right now, suppose that happened, price of bonds is going to go down. Right? People are going to say, "No, this bond is not. It was $100,000 before, but I don't think it's worth more than $90, maybe $85. I don't know where they're going to put a number. But as the bonds, if people were to start selling their bonds, getting out of paper debt instruments, looking for more reliable investment for their wealth, if they could dump the bonds, price of bonds is going to go down. People who hold bonds are going to be saying, oh my gosh, the price of bonds are going down. I mean, this is the sort of thing that could start a real panic, right? And no telling how far the price of bonds could fall if the panic got started. So, very difficult time, and you can hope that it's going to last longer, and long enough to give you an opportunity to perhaps reconsider how you finance, how you preserve your wealth for your retirement. And then you have to make a decision on your own what you want to do with it, but you know, maybe you have time. Maybe you have time to move. Maybe you have time to change. If this thing goes down suddenly and soon, a lot of people are going to be just caught in a way, in a position where that they cannot easily escape. If we can hold it off a while longer, then maybe you can make an adjustment. Let's take a break for a couple of commercials. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. Melody, tell them your story.
Well, I came across this article, and there's about this guy who lives in Tampa. And he was born a white male. His name is Adam. But he considers himself a Filipino. It turns out, well, his name is Ja Du, and he's part of a small but growing community of people. They consider themselves transracial. It refers to someone born one race but identifies with another. He says he grew up enjoying Filipino food, events, and the overall culture. He said he'd watch the History Channel sometimes for hours. And so now he wants to be Filipino. Wants to be Filipino. Uh-huh. So they're called transracial. But they're actually popping up kind of everywhere. There was that one lady, and she was, the head of the NAACP out there in Washington or Oregon, some place where she said she was black, but she was actually white.
Yeah,
Warren, who thinks she was
an Indian
chief.
Yeah.
Indian princess or whatever. Yeah. So, but yeah, these groups are dubbed transracial, and they're popping up with, more and more every day. And
well, what was making me laugh is when you were telling me the story.
He
thought he was Filipino because he likes Filipino food, and I'm curious now. Does that mean I'm a Mexican because I like frijoles and tortillas and the rest of that sort of thing? Does that make me a Mexican?
You can be
About if I have Chinese food this week and Mexican food next
change.
Week? I'm Chinese.
Perhaps
for
you
a week
have to identify
Mexican
a little
next
bit.
Week and
perhaps you have to identify with their culture a little bit more than just the food. Because when I visited Alaska, I felt very much at home. I love Alaska. I love it. I love it. I love it. I'm a country girl, and I just love Alaska. And I felt very much at home. Very much at home. Like I belong there. But you know, Alaska was once owned by Russia, right? So maybe I'm Russian. Maybe I'm Russian, Al.
Well, I'm half Russian.
We can be anything we want to be in the world of today.
Yeah, except a non-taxpayer. That's the one thing you can't. It's my race. I'm a non-taxpayer. No, I'm sorry.
Oh, what a crazy, crazy world that we live. We're going to move on. And, this is something I came across. We had President Trump visiting the Asian countries for the past 12 days. And it was a historic visit to Asia. It was the longest overseas trip of his presidency. Of course, he's only been there for how many months? And the longest Asian visit of any president in 25 years. He stopped in Hawaii. He went to Japan, South Korea. He went to China. He went to Vietnam and the Philippines. And I came across Jim Rickards made an assessment of his trip to Asia. Now, I'm not a fan of Jim Rickards, his business practices. He would sooner have you sell portions of your gold for penny stocks and then turn you over to Agora Financial. But every once in a while, he does come up with something that I agree with, and I think he has hit it on the nail this time. And he talks about, everyone talks about Trump going to Asia is involving international trade. But he says it's a mistake to focus just on international trade. This trip was a pre-war gathering of allies. Japan, South Korea, and potential allies China, in a last-ditch struggle to head off a hot war with North Korea. He says at this point there are only four possible outcomes of the U.S.-North Korea confrontation over the nuclear weapons. He says, one, Kim Jong-un stands down and gives up his nuclear weapons program. Two, the U.S. and China combine forces to decapitate the Kim dynasty and force regime changes. Three, preventive attack on North Korea by the U.S. Before March 20th, 2018.
Why before March 20th?
I'm reading from what he dictates here. And the U.S. accepts a nuclear-armed North Korea and relies on containment and deference to constrain its actions. And he says, based on public statements of U.S. officials, his recent meetings in Washington, and other sources, he estimates that the degree of distribution of those four possibility outcomes are as follows. Kim stands down, 10%. Regime change, 20%. War, 70%. U.S. lives with nuclear North Korea, 0%. Yep. So he says his visits to Japan and South Korea were about leaving the door open to negotiations in the hope that Kim would stand down while also preparing for war. Trump's visit to China was about asking for assistance and regime change. And so he thinks that a war between the U.S. and North Korea, of course, will cause a global flight to quality assets. So, and I agree. It possibly was about trade, but I think the elephant in the room was North Korea, and those really are only those four options. And he put the percentage basis to what really kind of makes sense. You know, Kim's not going to stand down.
Not voluntarily. Well, you don't think so? I don't know. You know, if that guy had any brains, he must have squirreled away a lot of money someplace outside of Korea, North Korea. All right, what would be so terrible? I mean, look, Kim, wake up, sonny. You could take your money and disappear into the Caribbean or go off to the Mediterranean or wherever you want to go with your money and just get out and, kind of enjoy your life. He should have enough where he can, you know, it's more than the retirement most people can expect. He could do that. Right? Just say, well, okay, I'm out of here. I quit. I don't want to get blown up or killed or something like that.
Actually,
I doubt if he's going to.
Actually, maybe that is a possibility. There is a psychic I was reading earlier today.
You mean
today.
Other than me?
Yes. And who predicted the election of Donald Trump and other things that he's predicted in the past and so forth. So he was giving up his 2018 predictions and his category of world conflict and terror predictions. He says a trade embargo with North Korea will fail and the U.S. will strike at railway line and bridge to disrupt imports. He says Kim Jong-un will be disposed by his own people and he will go missing, with some claiming he is living a secret new life in China.
Well, that makes a certain amount of sense.
He says,
I mean,
also,
I'm astonished that there aren't people in North Korea say, look, we're going to get nuked. You understand? We got to get this guy out of here. He's going to get us all killed. We don't die from eating grass and tree bark.
But what's also interesting is a world flu epidemic, and we know there's a plague. You know, I mean, those headlines are getting bigger and bigger every day. But this psychic says a world flu epidemic possibly linked to a biological warfare started by North Korea or a terrorist group. What's interesting about that is I pulled up an article from Newkirk, Oklahoma, where the Department of Homeland Security is planning to release chemicals to test the protection offered by buildings in Newkirk, Oklahoma. There was a legal notice that appeared in the local newspaper saying that the department would release non-hazardous, non-toxic chemicals and biological materials, and the tests are planned for 2018. Now, the data should help the department assess the impact of biological weapons. A notice in the newspaper, you know, set many of these residents kind of on edge. And what they're going to do, they're going to use titanium dioxide. And they describe it as a white odorless powder that is chemically insoluble in water, non-reactive, non-flammable, and non-hazardous. However, there has been reports that titanium dioxide, the nanoparticles, may lead to neurological dysfunction, genetic disorders, and possibly cancer. So, you know, there's conflicting information on just if titanium dioxide is dangerous, but this test, for the biological test, the government plans to release genetic barcoded spores of an insecticide sold under the trade name of Dipel, D-I-P-E-L. And again, it's not considered hazardous by the EPA when handled. When handled appropriately. So define handling appropriately.
Not turning it loose and testing your buildings with it. That's probably one of the inappropriate.
The city of Arkansas City has also said it's reviewing media reports of the testing. And this is the first time the city has been made aware of any testing to occur at Chillicothe. The city posted on the Facebook page. So it's probably going to happen to surrounding areas and perhaps other cities and states around this country. So, you know, you put all these together. You know, you add up 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1 for 2018. And again, 2018, I knew 2017 was going to be a little unpredictable and volatile, but 2018, everything is pointing to, and yes, I'm not a fan, you know, I don't check out my psychics every day to see what if the sun's going to shine today, but it just kind of popped up, and I was actually started to read it for fun, and then I started reading other things with Jim Rickards and that, and I thought, man, it's all interesting, it's kind of all. Does it mean anything?
Well, that's the thing. You can connect the dots. It's like looking up in the sky, and you can connect the dots, and you can make a lion, or you can make a bull, or you can make a virgin, or whatever it is you want to have up there. But in the end, you can also connect them to make, you know, a pancake and a Rolls Royce and who knows, a sugar cube. There's ways. How do you connect the dots? You can find the evidence. But then you have to interpret it. Which way do these are these things connected? And you know.
These are not the ingredients for pancakes. These are the ingredients for, yes, you can connect the dots and make various things, but it doesn't seem like you can make something sweet and nice out of them. So that's the whole point. It shows that we're going into a direction that is
It shows we're going into circumstances that are just unstable, unpredictable. They're cause for concern, not necessarily alarm, but they're cause for concern. And it's incumbent on all of us to pay a little closer attention, say, what the heck is happening here? And a lot of times, again, you're going to have to make up your own mind, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to have to look at those dots and see, what do you see? And you're going to have to govern yourself accordingly. And it might not be, you may not see the way I look at it, that might not be the way you look at it. If not, then you have a different conclusion than I have. If you have the same, if you see it pretty much the same way I do, then maybe you have a similar conclusion. But it's going to be incumbent on each of us to look at this world and see what's really happening. And then try to do the best we can to take care of ourselves. Because we are no longer, nobody can sit here and say, well, everything's organized, and what happens is you go to high school, and you graduate, then you go to college, and then you get a job, and you work for 40 years, and then you retire, and you have a pension, and the rest of that sort of thing. We are no longer on a treadmill that is guaranteed to take us to a particular and desirable end. We're on a kind of roller coaster, and maybe even the supports on the roller coaster are getting shaky. It's not just, you know, roller coaster is normally unstable, or at least it seems that way, but at least the support structure really is stable. Maybe that's not stable anymore. We're just in a situation where everyone understands this is getting strange, and you have to make decisions. What do you want to do? What are you going to do? And it won't do you any good to pretend it's not strange. I mean, we, you know, a lot of people are just going to look back and say everything is normal. Well, I don't know. Maybe they're right. But it doesn't seem normal to me. And it doesn't seem like I am I can't imagine that there are many people in this country who actually look at what's happening and come to the conclusion that everything's, you know, just copacetic and we're all going to live happily ever after. We're at it for some difficult times. The only question is, when do we get there? You know? And you're talking about 2017 versus 2018 to some degree. And we still have, you know, another month and a half of 2017 to go. I'm not sure this is over yet. I mean, 2017, there were people predicting everything was going to blow up in September, maybe October, and here we are in November, and it hasn't happened yet. But we still have that debt ceiling limit to deal with come December.
December 15, right? 16.
Now, they may just postpone it again, but bear in mind, this is an intractable problem. It cannot be resolved, and in my opinion, right? Because I've talked about it on the program a number of times, I am increasingly convinced that in our debt-based monetary system and our debt-based economy, the system runs on more debt. We have to have more debt. It's not an option. It's a requirement. And if we ever get to a point where we don't have any more debt, the whole thing folds up like an accordion. It's all over. Well, where was I going with that, Melody? I've lost my point.
I can't be paid, won't be paid.
Oh, no,
I'm sorry, listeners. I'm sorry.
No, I got off on a sidetrack there, and I lost my point. Apologize for that, but it'll come back, probably during the commercial or something.
I wasn't sure where you were heading, but the problem is, you know,
I had a good idea, Melody. Trust me.
I mean, yes, we do have the debt ceiling coming up at the end of the year, but 2018 will be a follow through from that. So, you know, if they don't get the tax cuts completed, and again, you know, Paul Ryan's up there slapping himself on the back. Job well done, I should say, for 1,200 savings for the middle class. $1,200 savings on your taxes really doesn't do a whole lot. I don't think it could put your child through college. You know, I don't think it's going to buy you a new car. I don't think
it's the thought that counts, Melody.
It's not going to remodel your kitchen, and it's not going to pay off your debt.
It's like getting socks for Christmas from Uncle Tom.
And now that we have the tax thing coming out from the Senate, you know, who knows what was changed, how it was changed, and so we're not even sure that it'll get done before the end of the year. Certainly won't be backdated at all. So again, 2018 can prove to be very. We'll see if the market's
another interesting year. At least as interesting as this last one, and maybe more so. We're going to take a break for some more commercials. We'll be right back on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
Won't you lay it on the line? I need to hear it just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
$550. Prices are higher today. Gold by $3. Silver is back up over $17. These numbers were adjusted last week before the higher prices today. So $550 for your 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle and 20 1-ounce Silver Eagles. 2017 is the date on those. And I haven't seen the date yet. I'll do some checking and maybe I'll bring that to you tomorrow as far as when the U.S. Mint will stop production on the 2017s for their 2018s, but that will not interfere with the 2017 Silver Eagles in this special. So $550 includes your shipping cost, 800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, and make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. It hasn't gone out yet, so it will be going out here in just a little bit. So make sure you sign up and get this week's newsletter from Discount Gold and Silver Trading.
What I was trying to say before I had my little senior moment, was talking about the debt ceiling, which is supposed to be addressed in December. But one of the things to bear in mind or to notice is that this has been going on since 2015. All right? 2015, Barack and John Boehner agreed that we're going to just do the honorable thing and we just want to address this issue and we'll put it off until 2017. Isn't that clever? Because they don't want to do it during an election year. Because that might make voters mad and incumbents would be voted out of office. They can't do it during election year. So they could put it off to 2017 because the new government would deal with it then in March 15th of 2017. Only government didn't. They said, we don't want to talk about this. Let's put this off. And I think they, for March, they put it off until September. And September, they put it off until December. And we're coming up on December right now. And one of the points behind this, There's a strong probability that if they don't resolve this in December, then maybe they won't even touch it in 2018 because it's an election year. Right?
No,
another election year. They don't want to talk about this during the election. Right? So I don't know when this is ever going to end, and the real point is that it's not going to end. And what I mean by that is this. They haven't enforced the debt ceiling law since at least 2015. That's evidence that there is no debt ceiling law. They have a facade. They used to have a debt ceiling law, but they don't enforce it anymore, which means there is no debt ceiling law. And this is consistent with an idea that I've advanced on this program for the last several weeks. I am increasingly convinced. I can't prove it. But I'm increasingly convinced that once you get into your debt-based monetary system and your debt-based economy, I don't think debt is an option. I think it's absolutely mandatory. We must have more debt and more debt and more debt and more debt, which means if I'm correct about that, if anyone was to enforce the debt ceiling where we couldn't have more debt, the whole system, I think, would collapse. I don't think they can afford to enforce the debt ceiling, and so they just put it off and put it off and put it off. I think there's a high possibility, a good possibility, that they're just going to repeal the debt ceiling law, which was actually enacted back during World War I. All right? But that was when we still had an asset-based monetary system. Worked well. We had gold. We had silver. We didn't go into debt. And didn't really start to go into debt until we got rid of the gold and silver relative to the currency, had a pure fiat currency after 1971, and that's when the debt began to really roll. I don't think the debt ceiling can work in a debt-based monetary system. It works in an asset-based monetary system, yeah, but when you go to debt-based, people think it doesn't make any difference whether you have an asset-based dollar or a debt-based dollar. Everyone seems to assume that it's still a green piece of paper and one is identical to the other, and I don't think that's true. I don't think that a debt-based instrument can be treated the same as an asset-based instrument. I think it, and attempting to do so, I think it creates irrational mathematics. It causes things to behave in ways that are kind of crazy. It's like dealing with the area inside a circle, pi r squared. You got pi 3.14 times radius squared. All right, if the radius is 2 inches. And pi is 3.14, then we square the radius, 2 inches, 4 inches, 4 times 3.14, and it works out to be 12 and a half, something like that, inches, square inches within that circle. But what happens if we change the radius, as crazy as it sounds, from a positive 2 to a negative 2? And from my perspective, I suspect, I can't prove it, could be wrong, but I suspect that when we went from asset-based currency to debt-based currency, we wound up changing from positive numbers to negative numbers, figuratively speaking, in relationship to making calculations that are similar to the idea of calculating the area of a circle. If you have if the radius is minus 2, assuming that's even possible, what's minus 2 squared? Right, and then multiply that by 3.14. It becomes irrational. You wind up with people like Janet Yellen and one of the other head honchos at the Federal Reserve saying, "We don't understand inflation. How can it be that the head of the Federal Reserve says, 'I don't understand inflation'?" That's Janet Yellen. How can it be? Something is going on here. She graduated with her bachelor's degree, summa cum laude, in economics. She got her PhD from Yale. This woman should know a little about economics, and yet she says she doesn't understand inflation. I think she understands inflation just fine, provided that you're using inflation in the context of an asset-based monetary system, like gold and silver. I think the concept of inflation, I think it necessarily fails when you start trying to use the same principles we had from classical economics under an asset-based monetary system, where you were trying to apply the same principles, the same formula, but we're using a debt-based currency. I think it makes things crazy. And a lot of people are sitting back and they said, "This is crazy." A lot of people are saying that. I don't know for a fact what the explanation is for that craziness, but I am strongly convinced it's because we gave up asset-based money and we tried to substitute debt-based currency for it, and I think the net result is going to be a kind of chaos, and I think it's inevitable. And if I'm correct about that, they can't impose the debt ceiling. They can't resolve it and say, "Okay, we're going to have a debt ceiling. That's it. 22. December, we can negotiate it, and this is it. Positively, absolutely. It's at 20 trillion, 22 trillion, 30 trillion. Can we set a debt ceiling and keep it?" I don't think we can. We're going to find out. Maybe I'm right. Maybe I'm wrong. But I think come December, they are going to bypass this issue again because it can't be dealt with. The Republicans are in power. They are famous for being fiscal conservatives. They're against going deeper into debt, but we live in a system where you have to go deeper into debt. The Republicans, if they face this business, this issue of the debt ceiling, they have to say, "We're going to have a debt ceiling, and that's it. No more debt." And I think if they do, the whole economy goes down the pipe. If they do what they advertise, they're going to crush the economy, and it's going to be like Hoover again. The party is going to be, it'll be a decade or 20 years. They'll be an also-ran. They'll be blamed for collapsing the economy, I think, if they cut off the debt. I don't think they can do it. Watch and see. December may roll around and it may be a snap and they just say, "Oh, sure, we can handle that, no problem." But we haven't handled it for since 2015. We've got 2 years right now that they've avoided the issue. I think they're going to avoid it again. And if they do, 2018 is an election year. I don't think they'll touch it. I don't think Congress will touch the issue during an election year. So this is an interesting thing. The point I'm trying to make as much as anything is this debt ceiling. We have this problem, and it comes up every 6 months, year or two, whatever, and we kind of deal with it, and we hear a bunch of, oh, my gosh, the sky is falling. But we just it comes around, and we get past it, and we've kind of reached a point where it doesn't seem too serious. I think it's critical. We'll watch and see, but if I'm right that the debt is mandatory, they can't impose the debt ceiling. They can't do it. They have to let us go deeper and deeper and deeper into debt. And how is the Republican Party going to square that with its constituents? Very interesting. You know, we live in interesting times, and December is going to be interesting, and 2017, not over yet. There's room for, you know, a couple of more interesting waves, a couple of more interesting shocks, and the debt ceiling may be one of them. So, what do you think, Melody?
Well, I mean, I don't disagree with you. I mean, you know, they've had debt ceiling debacles prior to 2015, and mm-hmm. they extend it. And
but it used to work fine when we had an asset-based currency. It only began to start causing trouble after 1971. That's when the government started going deeply into debt. Prior to that, when we had an asset-based currency, government couldn't go deeply into debt. Debt was very modest. But once we got into that fiat currency, we could go into all the debt government wanted, as much as they wanted to borrow practically and spend. And this meant that debt ceiling. This became an important issue, and I don't think anybody's understood it, perhaps. I don't think many people have understood it, at least up until now. We'll see. Again, I could be wrong, but I don't think they're going to do it in December. We've got a month to go thereabouts, and we'll find out. Give us something to look forward to, Melody.
Absolutely.
You get to be an adult, and it's not a question of, Santa Claus is coming. Santa Claus is coming. No, Santa Claus isn't coming. The debt ceiling is coming for adults. For kids, Santa Claus. For adults, debt ceiling. Little different world.
Well, I think they'll raise it to some degree. You're right. They're not going to do anything nasty in an election year, particularly if they can't get the tax reform done. And they failed on Obamacare. They're failing on the tax reform. They might be able to get something through of that next year and so forth. There's been no infrastructure discussions or anything like that as yet. So that's, the only thing we have to go on is a high stock market. The economy is great based on the high stock market prices. And, it's just a great way to fool people, but it seems to have worked for them all these years, and they will continue to use it for as long as they can. And eventually the day comes when people don't buy it anymore, and the event comes, and I think it will come very quick, and I think it's not going to be another one where we rebound even like we did in 2008. There's going to be no rebound. We'll hit a level, and I think we'll be there for a very long time. Particularly if we go into a major war, and
we're not going to have a major war with North Korea.
Whether it be a currency war, whether it be a trade war, there's going to be a major war. Pardon?
Oh yeah, if you're going to talk about a currency war,
there's going to be a major, major war of some sort. You can call it whatever you want, but it's not going to be this. And I think, too, there's going to be these currency wars because the U.S. is going to have to find a way to hold their position. And Trump says that he's not going to allow Asia countries to take advantage of the U.S. anymore. The only thing that he can do to interfere with the trade is to manipulate our currency to the lower end.
So, well, I think they want to do that. I'm surprised that they have the dollar index going up at all in the last month or 6 weeks, whatever it is. because the government needs a less valuable dollar in order to deal with the national debt.
Correct.
When the dollar becomes more valuable on the U.S. dollar index, it effectively increases the size of the national debt. The number doesn't change, but the purchasing power does. We had $20 trillion, okay. You still have a $20 trillion national debt, but if the U.S. dollar index has gone up 5%, then the debt has increased by 5% in terms of purchasing power. And they can't deal with that, in my opinion.
Well, the key to it is what they really need a lower currency for is because it helps exports.
Yeah.
At least just stronger exports. And that's what they, you know, that's...
But it leads to less pensions. It leads to less savings. It leads to less wages here in the United States.
It leads to less purchasing power. And yeah, but I mean, the weaker currency they need when Mr. Trump talks about not allowing the foreign countries to take advantage of us anymore, he's really referencing currency manipulations.
I'm totally opposed to foreign countries taking advantage of the American people, Melody.
Are you?
That's the government's job. Mm-hmm. Foreign countries shouldn't be taking advantage of the people. That's Washington, D.C.'s job, and that's what they're most famous for. We're out of time. We need to thank all of you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. And we hope you'll tune in at that time. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay.
Ain't it sad?
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.